Today's What Do You Think program is brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
If you're a farmer, you should know Farm Bureau Insurance. After all, you know how tricky insurance can be. Did you remember to add that new planter you bought? What about the truck? Did you switch that over? The equipment you'll be using will need to be added. If you're a farmer, you should know Farm Bureau Insurance. Because Farm Bureau Insurance works with you to get all your needs taken care of. From the implements and trucks to the insurance on your workers, your local Huron County Farm Bureau agent will walk with you every step of the way. If you're a farmer and you don't know Farm Bureau Insurance, call one of your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents today. It could just be one of the most important calls you make. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Contact one of your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Deb McBride or Corey Vollmer in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, Tim Fritz in Bad Axe, or Bill Weitzel in Pigeon.
Michigan, my Michigan.
It is currently 12 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock, time for our What Do You Think program. Our guest today in the studio, the guest today on the phone, actually, is Patty Finan. They've got more of the Thumb Music Makers activities going on. They're going to be having a performance coming up a little later, week or so, about the 4th of next month, and we're going to talk about that. Thanks for being with us, Patty.
Thanks for having me, Craig.
Who's coming and what's going to be happening?
Matthew Ball is coming, and his signature is the Boogie Woogie Kid. So he is a young man and plays Boogie Woogie music, and he'll be playing on the 1893 Steinway piano that's part of the Huron City Museum's archives or artifacts. So it's it was a wedding gift to Frank and Elizabeth Hubbard, and it'll be on showcase this Thursday coming up, a week from tomorrow.
Well, terrific. And this is part of the series that your group puts on?
Right. We're on the Thumb Music Makers, and there's five of us there. It's Dean Smith, Wendy Zick, Mary Cooperi, Mary Barnes, and myself. And we try to bring really good music to the Thumb area.
Okay. I believe we have Matthew on the other line. We're going to link us all together.
Okay, great.
Matthew, are you with us this time?
I am. when you said hold on, it disconnected.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a problem, but we're on the air now, and I've got Patty Finan on the other line. So you're going to be coming up early next month to perform. And what will people experience with your performance? What is it you bring?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to do a show of piano blues and boogie-woogie music. And it is, boogie-woogie is a rhythm-filled way of playing the piano that comes from the swing era in American history, so right alongside the swing dancers, and generally from the 1920s and the 1930s.
And is this just one type of music you perform, or do you like to exclusively do this kind?
Well, I do a spectrum within the genre of blues and boogie-woogie, so I try to give a little kind of Chicago blues flavor, but also New Orleans blues flavor, which have some different rhythm textures and some different sounds. And I'll do some classic pieces like Pine Top's Boogie Woogie or from the New Orleans tradition, something like Tipitina. But I also do some, fun arrangements of songs like Sheik of Araby and also Suwannee River. I do a Bumble Boogie, which is a hybrid of classical and boogie based on The Flight of the Bumblebee. So I do a good mix of things. It's a family-friendly concert. It's fun for everyone, I think.
Patty has guests that come in and they play a trumpet or a clarinet or whatever, but you're talking piano. That's not really something you can bring with you. Is it difficult to go into a place and have to use somebody else's instrument?
Well, it's probably more difficult than the other instruments are able to carry their own thing, but you get used to doing it over the years, so I've been doing this a long time now, so it's something that I've grown accustomed to having to deal with. Most of the time, as long as the keys work, it's fine. It's just the occasion where you come across a piano, perhaps, that, you know, a key doesn't work or this kind of thing, that can become problematic. But otherwise, it's a manageable issue.
Okay, you don't have to worry about acoustics and tonal qualities and that. You just kind of work with what you have then.
Well, you have to. You just have to work with what you have. I mean, you, in terms of that, you put the trust in the people that are, you know, putting the concert together, that they'll be conscientious about making sure the piano's prepared for a performance. And that just means that the piano's been, you know, regularly cared for. It hasn't been allowed to kind of deteriorate. So, and I have every confidence that that'll be, that will be in good shape.
When you perform, is this the size of venue you normally look for? Is this something that works better in a closer, more personal type of setting?
Well, I haven't been out here before, so I can't speak to the size of the place so much. But you know, I perform wherever I'm welcome. So, for I've performed in larger places, but in larger places, you know, I'll typically make an effort to include a drummer and maybe even a bassist. For smaller places, you know, just the piano solo seems to work out fine. I know personally, I've always preferred smaller venue performances, because whenever I've attended concerts in, you know, large settings, to me, it's distracting to watch audience members, you know, perhaps get up and get a drink from the vendors or do any number of other things. So I've always preferred personally to experience a concert in a smaller venue. It seems like there's a little more intimacy between you and the performing artist, and a little more connection in terms of you know, what the artist's intent is to get across.
Is this a type of music that you basically have to take a piece of work and adapt it to what you're doing on the piano? A lot of times they're designed for multiple instruments, or you're taking a piece like The Flight of the Bumblebee from a whole different genre. Is this something that you personally have to adapt for yourself?
Well, blues and boogie-woogie music still today is not a written tradition in the sense that classical music is, so that it's typically a music that you play, learn, and create by ear. You know, there are an occasional piece out there where there's some written material that you can kind of use as a template, but it doesn't give you all the notes. So I learn and play and create this music by ear.
And since there is no written music, do you basically just have to adapt what you hear in other genres, or are there places you go to actually hear this type of music and you know, get inspiration from others doing the same thing?
Well, I think you know, my my goal has been to create a classic boogie-woogie sound, and to me that means an emulation of the piano blues and boogie-woogie pioneers from the 20s, 30s, and part of the 40s. So my sound is my own take on a lot of classics, but it's kind of also the golden age of boogie-woogie, because boogie-woogie came to the height of its popularity and maturity after a 1938 Carnegie Hall concert performance delivered by one of the three top instrumental boogie-woogie artists of their day. And so my music is a reflection of that kind of golden era of boogie-woogie piano.
And is this a style of music that people like you are trying to keep alive, so it doesn't go into history and still remains a viable thing for people to listen to today?
Yeah, well, that is problematic. I think one of the difficulties in terms of discovering and learning this music, you know, for next generations, is its lack of accessibility. It's not a written music, so young kids who take piano lessons can't go into a store and just pick up a piece of sheet music. Typically, I don't know of an institution here in the state that has, for example, a boogie-woogie performing artist on staff as a professor or an adjunct professor. So even advanced students that may take piano classes in university don't have a chance to get exposed to it. I know that was my own experience. Of course, I have a degree from Oakland University, and if I had wanted to learn boogie-woogie and blues music, I could not have through the faculty there at Oakland University. It was only through, you know, a self-learning investment that I was able to learn the music. So, yes, I do make an effort to keep it alive, and, you know, my big hope is that that this type of jazz form, because it is part of the jazz heritage, will be eventually accepted, embraced, and nourished in the same way that we see modern jazz art forms today present in university curriculums and jazz stages and jazz radio.
Is preserving this music then mostly best done then through actual recordings of it, because you say there is no written music?
Yes, you're right about that. I mean, that's the major source from which I've learned are the old recordings.
And to get into this, is piano basically the best way to do it, or do people come to it from a whole different perspective sometimes?
Well, Boogie Woogie is really an instrumental piano outgrowth from the blues. And of course, it was picked up by the big bands that were contemporary. Excuse me, that were contemporary with the heyday of boogie woogie. But yeah, I think the piano is the way to experience boogie woogie in its authentic form.
Do you customize your performances based on your audience? Do you sometimes make changes when you get in there so you have an older crowd and maybe the more classics will go over better?
Sometimes I do that. You know, for example, if I find myself playing in a particular area where there's a song that fits the city, like, for example, there's a song called Chicago Breakdown. Well, you know, if last year I traveled to the Chicago area, so I made a point to include that in the repertoire. But my design for the repertoire is I try to give a little bit of everything, so everyone is happy, you know. So I try to do it, like I said, I do a spectrum of blues sounds from the Midwest to from Chicago to New Orleans. Basically, those are the principal urban centers for the development of the blues. And I try to give different boogie-woogie textures and different boogie-woogie treatments. So I'll do 12-bar structure sense, but I'll also do adaptations of songs that are boogie-woogie arrangements. So I do songs, like I said, of Suwannee River or Sheikah Arabee. I'm going to do a 12th Street rag boogie. And then I also do blues treatments of songs. So I'll do a blues treatment of Over the Rainbow. As I said, I do the bubble boogie. And, you know, so I try to give folks melodies that everybody can identify with, both old and young, and a spectrum of sound so that everyone is hearing probably what they'd like to hear.
A lot of the songs you mentioned in that course were vocal songs where they have words that go with that. Do you basically do it instrumental, or is there some singing involved in this either on your or the audience's part?
No, there isn't singing. It's instrumental because, of course, in the 20s and 30s, that's what boogie-woogie was. It was an instrumental art form. That's its original conception. But it was conceived as a dance music, so it's not uncommon that I'll get people that attend my concerts to, you know, perhaps get up and do some dancing. Or I have had people at least hum along. I don't know if they sing along, but some of that stuff I don't always detect because I'm concentrating on my job and my notes.
And you're going to be performing on Thursday, August the 4th, 7 p.m. at Huron City Church?
Yes.
And just hoping for a good crowd and a lively crowd, because you're going to have lively music for them.
Definitely. Definitely.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time with us today, and we look forward to hearing from you on the 4th.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Patty?
I'm still here, yeah.
You're still there, so we've got this coming up on the 4th, and you're looking for everybody to come out there. How do they get tickets? Do you get them at the door? Do you need them in advance?
No, we don't do them in advance, but you can pay at the door. It's $10 for adults and $5 for students, and it is 7 o'clock, so, you know, the church seats 225, and it'd be great if we could pack it. But I think it's going to be fun. Matt's got a wide repertoire, and he's very well-educated. He's been to a lot of different music schools and learned underneath some very interesting people, so I'm really anxious to hear his concert.
And remember that it's a historical museum area church. There's not probably air conditioning in there. Dress accordingly.
That is true. Very good. Thank you for reminding me, Matt, for reminding me, Craig.
Because you can't enjoy the performance if you're sweating.
That's right. That's right. Bring a fan if you need to, yeah.
Well, we bring fans of Matt's. Hopefully a whole audience full.
I also did, Craig, want to mention that we have another concert coming up on August 18th, too.
Okay.
It's the Blue Water Woodwind Quintet Plus One.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be at Harbor Beach at the Lighthouse AG Church on Section Line Road. And our suggested donations for that are $5 and $10 also. And that will be on Thursday, August 18th at 7 o'clock. So I just wanted to get that plug in, too. So that's our last concert for the series. And
And the donations generally are used to help bring more performances to the area.
Right. Oh, yes, definitely. We split the proceeds, the profits from the concerts, with whoever's hosting us. So for next week's concert, it'll go back to Huron City Church. And for the 18th concert, it'll go back to the Lighthouse AG Church. So whatever's left over after we pay bills, we split evenly with the hosts. So it works out well for everybody.
Appreciate you taking time with us again today, Patty.
Thanks so much for having me, Craig. I appreciate the chance to get the word out.
Thank you much. Our guests today on the program have been Patty Finan. She is with the Thumb Music Makers. And also Matthew Ball, who will be performing at the Huron City Church Thursday, August the 4th at 7 p.m. Tickets will be available at the door. Dress accordingly if it's warm. There's no air conditioning in that church. It's a museum, so dress accordingly so that you can be comfortable. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll clue you in on the latest in the news, and Jeff Taylor will be back in a minute or two to continue with our fair coverage.
Today's What Do You Think program was brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.